the world. I'm John Batchelor. From the surface of the planet Earth, we're into orbit thanks to Falcon Heavy lifting Psyche's mission. Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. He can also tell us what is Psyche. Bob, good evening to you. What's the Psyche mission? Congratulations, SpaceX, another success. Good evening.
Good evening, John. Yes, SpaceX's Falcon Heavy rocket had another successful launch. It's been actually remarkable. This war for a while was the most powerful rocket on Earth. It still is the most cost-effective heavy lift rocket that exists because it's operational and can launch frequently, and once again it's reusable, partly reusable, and so it launched a NASA's Psyche mission, asteroid mission. Psyche is a mission to go to the asteroid Psyche. Psyche is the asteroid is a metal asteroid. It is thought to be mostly nickel iron. And the theory is that it is the core of a broken up planet, very possibly the planet that formed the asteroid belt, that broke up. This is the theory. We don't, the hypothesis, we don't really know. But that's the goal, to go look at this. And there's enough metal in this asteroid, by the way, to have supplied the Earth from the very beginning of the Iron Age to today many times over. So as a valuable resource someday for the spacefaring people in space, this is a valuable piece of real estate. And so it launched, and successful launch. Psyche, it will now spend the next years traveling to the asteroid Psyche. It'll first fly by Mars in 2026. That's to give it a bit of a slingshot acceleration. And then it'll go into orbit around the asteroid in 29 and spend almost 2 years there, starting in a wider orbit, more or less flying in formation, and then slowly move down to a closer location to get closer images. And so that'll be exciting, but it is 6 years away. So except for my website, Behind the Black, John, and your show, don't expect the press to cover this anymore for much for the next 6 years, but we'll pick it up periodically as things happen.
We have a delay of spacewalks. This has a backstory. NASA's delayed two spacewalks at ISS because of the module Nauka, launched in 21 by Roscosmos. Bob, what is Nauka? What's wrong with it?
Nauka developed a leak in its cooling system, the third such leak in less than a year from Russian spacecrafts docked to ISS. The previous two was a Soyuz and a Progress capsules. Those were temporary dockings. Nauka is a permanent module that was attached in 21. It was under construction for almost a quarter century in Russia, many delays. In 12, they launched a radiator unit that would sit outside the module and act as a radiator to radiate excess heat. And so they launched Nauka, they got it attached, they then had a spacewalk where they attached the radiator to it, and about a week ago, it developed a coolant leak. They noticed this because there were flakes in the, looked like snow falling outside the station. And because of that, they've delayed two American spacewalks on the American side of the station while they assess the issue. The key piece of data from this most recent NASA update, however, is a little almost mentioned as an aside, but it's actually a piece of important news. The leak has stopped. In other words, they're not detecting material coming out of it anymore. Now, that could be from a variety of reasons. Some good, some not so good. Well, the good reason would be the Russians, having located the leak, have closed the valves to that particular section of the coolant system so that the leak no longer exudes material. That would be the good news if they told us that. But that they haven't told us that. So it also could be that something unknown is happening and it stopped for some reasons we don't understand. So we don't know, and that's important. But if it has stopped, I'm more inclined to think the Russians have kind of isolated it and shut off valves so it doesn't get material coolant anymore to leak. And if that's the case, then that's a good thing. They at least can after they've confirmed all this, they can do the spacewalks. And the situation is then stable. We are facing a space station with a Russian half that has significant engineering problems, and that's if they can make this station survive till they'll plan the termination date of either 28 or 30, I think that will be a miracle, John.
Bob, the leak that we originally worried about was, we believe, associated with age. That's the oldest part of the ISS. This is a brand new module. So it's not consistent with cracking because of stress. You recall we talked about the docking, putting stress on that Russian module. This Russian module has no similar activities.
You know, it's hard to say about age, though, because even though it's a new module put up in 21, it was actually built, the hull and body of this was built in the 90s. And then they had no money to finish it. And then when they finally finished it, I will tell you that they had many serious problems that took a lot of work to clean up. So it's decades of delay. And on top of that, the radiator that had the coolant link was launched in 12. So it's more than a decade old, if not longer than that. And it was sitting up in space for a long time, unused, until Nalkor arrived. So age is still a factor here, even though the module's up new. The previous, not so much leak, yeah, the leaks on Zvezda because of cracking with stress fractures and age, that module is the oldest, one of the oldest modules on ISS, so yes, you're right. These point to difficult issues for the station's survival because the Russian half has these problems.
All right, get out your debit cards, everyone. Here comes consumer news from Bob Zimmerman. SpaceX, Bob. Starlink, Bob. What about cell phones?
Yes. You know, the Starlink constellation was designed to link up and provide broadband to people's home desktop internet service. You know, this way you don't have to get like the typical DSL or cable systems. You have a competitor, an option, and it seems to be an option that in many ways is better. But it was for broadband, as for internet access on desktops. SpaceX has now announced that beginning in 24, it will provide texting service to anyone's cell phone. And let me quote, no changes in hardware, firmware, or special apps will be required. And then in 25, they're going to expand it to voice and data on your smartphone. So in other words, Starlink by 25 will be a system that could provide everyone in the world global access for their smartphone for all purposes, plus your home internet services for all purposes, and your phone service at home for all purposes. And this is pretty spectacular. It makes them a direct competitor with a company called AST Space Mobile, which launched a very large satellite that, you know, it was very bright because it has very, very big solar panels. And it was designed as a test to do similar things with cell phones using satellites. Well, SpaceX has leaped ahead of them right now because it has a constellation in orbit and very shortly will have it available for the same purpose. Competing. This explains why private investment firms have been willing to invest almost $11 billion in SpaceX. They see really big profits coming on the horizon because this company is providing. Remember, every person on the globe who wants to have access to the internet and smartphones will now be able to buy this service. It's a direct competitor to everybody else, and it provides good service, so it's very likely to get a lot of customers. That our federal government dislikes SpaceX and is trying to do everything it can to crush it tells us a lot about the government itself, because it isn't interested in promoting success, which this company clearly is. It likes to, its instinct is to squelch success, and that's really tragic, John.
What is Astrobotic? What is Masten?
Masten was a company, a small company, that had developed vertical takeoff and landing for small spacecraft. None of it orbital. All of it was either very short-term or at the very edge of space. And they were testing that technology for a lot of reasons, and unfortunately, they went bankrupt. When they went bankrupt, in the bankruptcy auction, Astrobotic purchased Masten entirely. Astrobotic is a company that is attempting to develop lunar landers. It wants to become a planetary lunar lander company. It's got other components as well. It makes engines and so forth. But it brought Mastin. It was a perfect fit for them because they want to do landings on the moon. Having the technology from a company that has specialized in vertical landing gets you a lot of resources that you could use. And so Mastin was purchased this summer from Astrobotic. And Astrobotic now has announced that it has resumed the flights and testing of the suborbital spacecraft that Mastin had built and had been flying. And so their small Zodiac's vertical test vehicle has now been doing a test campaign. And they've begun work on its it's got an interesting name, Zogdor suborbital craft that would get to space, basically be doing the same kind of things that New Shepard is supposed to be doing, go up to suborbital space and then come down, land vertically. And they resume development work on that. The purpose of these are not manned. The purpose of these is to provide payloads for science and engineering experiments in either weightlessness or in high altitude and in maybe weightlessness. And so Astrobotics now has resumed the work. It's interesting that the CEO of Mastin, Doug Mastin, was hired. Is basically now the chief engineer for this division at Astrobotics. So his whole company just basically joined Astrobotics. It's actually been a very good thing for them.
And we have a success for the India program, Gaganyaan. They're testing aboard. This is the manned mission, Bob?
That's correct. Gaganyaan is their project to do a manned mission to put three astronauts into space for a period of about a week. They hope to do that next year. Well, we'll see. That's a somewhat uncertain date. But everything is falling into place. They have now certified their rocket for it. That's the launch vehicle Mark III rocket. That's their biggest rocket. It's now been certified for manned launches. And they've now scheduled a launch abort of an unmanned capsule, Gaganyaan unmanned capsule, for later this month, October 21st. They're going to do a launch abort test where they will simulate what would happen if the rocket failed and they had to separate the capsule with people on it and have it return to Earth safely very quickly in an emergency. So they're going to do that test. And they said they were going to do that at least twice. So they get that done, they're getting very close to being able to do a flight. And so we might see a flight next year. We have to keep our fingers crossed. But later this month, the launch abort test will occur.
All right. Three reversals of fortune. South Korea, USA, and NASA. What are they, Bob?
Okay, South Korea is in its final negotiations to cancel two Russian launch contracts. Before the Ukraine war, Russia had an international business selling launches to other countries and other businesses because they were cost-effective. They invaded Ukraine. Everyone said, we don't want your business anymore. And the Russians lost literally billions of income. And so South Korea had contracts to launch several satellites on Russian rockets. They've basically been finding other launch providers, and they're right now in the final negotiations. I don't know what they have to negotiate. It might be that Russia has to give them money back or has materials of theirs they need to get back. But South Korea is in the process of canceling those two launch contracts. Second issue is Starliner. This is Boeing in the United States. The long, long delayed Boeing Starliner manned capsule that's supposed to give NASA redundancy with SpaceX's Dragon manned capsules. Well, it's now been scheduled for a launch in April of 24. The last announcement had said March, but they've moved it to April, and that's not so much because of delays with the program as much as scheduling it in between operational Dragon missions. However, that April launch is very questionable because we must remember what the problems with Boeing. It has to remove flammable electric tape it used throughout the entire capsule. How it did that speaks very badly of Boeing. And it also has to do drop tests for a new parachute linkage system because they discovered that the links were too weak and could break during landing. And once again, how in this day and age, more than three quarters of a century after Sputnik, they didn't know to do this.
All right,
and finally,
just a minute,
NASA.
Bob, just one minute. Go ahead quickly.
All right, 1 minute. So NASA, back in the aughts, decided to do a refueling mission to an unmanned satellite to prove that refueling and surfacing of satellites is a good idea. They are now more than a decade behind schedule and significantly over budget. They spent almost $2 billion. They delayed them, probably would be late in this decade before this mission happens. And the irony of this is that the private enterprise has completely leapfrogged them and is doing this work and doesn't need NASA to do this mission anymore. They should cancel. John.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. We're going exploring to deep space. I'm John Beck.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.